Thank you, Minister. I'd be curious to compare a few things, not as them being different, but the wonderful living teaching of the sage that tells you to dive within in self-recognition, and then the same instruction can be gotten from the very penetrating records of the Maharshi, and then more or less direct in much of the sacred scripture. And at the same time, the sacred scripture offers just a wealth of assistance in taking down illusion in less direct ways or less central ways as well. Is all that other instruction only a removal of obstacles to the first, or is there a way that the sacred scripture and the sacred teachings, and even as best as you can absorb them, the conclusions, as it were, is that in some way parallel to the actual direct inner dive of self-recognition? In other words, can you take the stated conclusions of the sages and the scriptures, can you take that inside in a manner similar to that self-inspection?
The purpose depends on what you're regarding as the scriptures. Much of the scriptures, much of the Vedas, for example, deals with knowledge. And the only purpose in that knowledge is the direct revelation of Brahman, which is the self. It is a matter of being able to understand them correctly, to properly interpret them. To understand them correctly, you must be engaged in inquiring into your own nature. Otherwise, the suppositions regarding yourself will veil the essential meaning. Those parts of the scriptures that deal with, usually it's referred to as karmakanda, ritual aspects of religion, have for the purpose of introverting the mind according to the temperament of the aspirant, so that he's prepared to understand teachings of knowledge. But the teachings of knowledge themselves are all about Brahman. There is no shortcoming in them. It's only dependent upon your own ability to understand. Your own understanding is determined by depth of inquiry into yourself. The power in those scriptural sayings, the sayings of the Maharshi, the sayings of Shankara and so forth, the power in their sayings is actually the power of Brahman. What other power could it be? That same power abides in silence, which is perhaps the most profound scripture. Viewed from another angle of vision, the purpose of the scriptures are only to point you back to yourself. Once that is done, their use is accomplished. Thus the Gita says, for one who has realized the self, the scriptures are as much use as a pond where everywhere there's a flood. Of course, that statement is well preserved in a holy scripture. Does this answer your question?
It does very much. Maybe one way I could focus on one part of the question is, when the guru says thou art that, and the guru says discover who ask inquire who am I. So in what ways are those the same thing, and in what ways might they not be the same thing?
If we regarded them as objective methods of inquiry or statements about something else other than the self, they could be regarded as disparate or somehow different. However, if we approach them in the same spirit in which they originally said or taught, how could there be any distinction? Tattvamasi, that you are, thou art that. Isn't it true that you must know the you in order to grasp the understanding of that?
You must follow the lead of and one and question what is the guru referring to by I.
And in order to do so, you'd have to inquire, who am I? Right. So the only way to truly comprehend that question is to know the self, to know the I. Then the I just is that. There's nothing further to be accomplished. Which is summed up in those three words, thou art that. If we approach such things merely with the intellect and make some observations conceptually about them, then we all will think there is some fault that lies in the teaching. Thou art that. It used to work in the old Vedic days, now it doesn't work anymore for some reason. Or we will think that the Maharshi, Sri Bhagavan, introduced something new when he taught, you should inquire, who am I? It was nothing new, it was the same ancient truth, the same eternal teaching. It would be as ridiculous to say that the teaching Tattvamasi was meant to be just be thought, affirmed, or exercised some way with the mind. It would be as ridiculous to assume that as to assume that the question, who am I, was meant to be verbally repeated to oneself. Who am I? Or mentally repeated. The meaning of who am I is much deeper than the words, who am I? What is being pointed to? What is the direction shown? Similar is it with thou art that. The general advice is, whichever one turns your mind inward and causes you to abandon the objective outlook and thus know yourself, is the right one for you.